All right. Good morning and welcome to our sunrise service here at Madison Baptist Church. And happy Resurrection Day to each of you. And thank you for being here in your place on this Sunday morning, a little bit earlier than normal. It's funny how it seems early, but really, many of you get up and go to work probably earlier than what you had to get up and come to church here this morning. Perhaps some of you don't, and some of you maybe work in your pajamas normally, so it was a little unusual for you to get up and be able to be on time. But we won't talk about that, all right? But I am so glad that you're here at 8:30 this morning to be a part of our sunrise service. This service will be a little bit different than normal. We won't we won't have a message per se, but we will have lots of scripture and several hymns as well. And the Lord laid on my heart to, with the scripture and the hymns, basically tell the story of redemption. So you'll see that as we go through. I'll kind of introduce each topic and all of that. Brother Adrian will lead the songs, and I'll read the scripture. You'll see how it goes, and I am looking forward to it. It's been a blessing to me just to think through and pray through how this would all go. But we are especially thankful for the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ rose for that in this regard, that it means that there is hope in life, isn't there? Amen. That this life is not all that we have to live for, that we are not, as the Apostle Paul said, of all men most miserable. Rather, we are of all men most blessed. And we have so much to look forward to. We have a blessed hope. We're looking for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And the resurrection gave us proof that we have something to wait for. And I'm thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he lives, doesn't he? I'm already preaching a message. I better not. Would you stand at this time? Now, this first hymn that we're going to sing, actually these first two, we'll have a hymn, scripture, and another hymn. These, I want you to think about the fact that our great God that we love and that we serve is our creator. That's how we begin this, that God is the creator who created man for his glory. So think about that as Brother Adrian comes and leads us in this first hymn.
165, please. 165, O worship the King. 165.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a million in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face, his chariots of wrath the deep thunder cloud for, and dark is his path, the wings of the storm. On the fourth, frail children of dust and feeble as frail,
Genesis chapter 1 is where I'd like you to turn as you remain standing. Genesis 1, we're going to just read a few verses. Genesis 1, beginning with verse 26, we'll read down through verse 31. Genesis chapter number 1, which gives us the narrative, the information of God creating man. And of course, man was created for God's glory. Genesis 1 and verse 26, I'll read out loud. You follow along silently as I read. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. At this time, Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in another hymn. You can remain standing for this one. Brother Adrian will have you be seated after it. And it's hymn number 158.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, 158. Please be seated.
As we move from the creation that God brought into existence, how he created man, and obviously all things, but specifically man, we now turn to Genesis chapter 3, where we find the very sad tale, the very sad narrative of what happened as man was given an opportunity to obey or disobey. Genesis chapter 3, in the first 10 verses, share with us what happened early on in man's history. Genesis 3, we think of a loving God who created man for his glory, but we find that in disobedience, man rebelled from God and chose sin. Genesis 3, beginning with verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. We see there that mankind chose sin, rebelled from God, and because of that he was ashamed, and his communion with God was brought to an end at that point, at least as far as a close communion. We see that mankind was in a sinful state after that. Brother Adrian's going to come, and you can remain seated for this hymn, but he's going to lead us in a song that really reminds us of what sinners we are and God's grace being amazing.
244, please. 244, Amazing Grace, 244.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
again in Genesis chapter number 3. This time we'll begin with verse number 10. And we have seen how God created man for his glory, that man in disobedience rebelled from God and chose sin, and by that lost fellowship with God. We also are going to see in Genesis chapter 3, and beginning with verse number 10, we're going to see now that man's fall results in spiritual death. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. At this time, Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in another hymn. It's hymn number 258. The title is Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. Results in spiritual death, and not just spiritual death, but death really being all around us, doesn't it? We read in Genesis 3 about the fact that man's fall resulted in the fact that creation is now under a curse as well, which leads us to, I want to read at this time two scriptures. Let's look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll read verses 10 through 20. Romans 3, verses 10 through 20. And then right after that, I'll read another portion of Scripture, or Brother Adrian will lead a song, and then I'll read another portion of Scripture. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, we see that mankind is wicked and sinful, and again, his fall resulted in spiritual death. We're going to move now to another outlook on God's redemptive story that we find in his word, and that is that God's love motivates him to seek man who is lost. Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in a hymn that tells us about that.
188, please. 188, the love of God, 188.
God does love us and love mankind in spite of our sinful state and in spite of who we are and what we've done in our rebellion, which leads us to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24 is the next section of scripture that we will read. Luke chapter 15, and we'll start with verse 11 and read down through verse 24. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a wonderful scripture that gives us a glimpse, an illustration of God's great love for us. At this time, I'm going to have you stand. Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in a hymn. And this one, Brother Adrian, I'd like us to sing all four verses. This one's an important one. He's going to lead us all four verses of a hymn.
185, please. 185, My Savior's Love, 185.
Bye.
seated. Now we find ourselves, as we've walked through a little bit of the story of God's redemption that he provided for mankind, we saw that God created man for his glory and for fellowship with him, but in disobedience, man rebelled from God and chose sin, that man's fall resulted in spiritual death, and yet God's love motivated him to seek man who is lost, which leads us then, of course, to Luke 23. We want to turn there because we're going to see there that in order for God's love to bring its the end that it so desired, in other words, to bring man to redemption, that same God that we know and love and reverence, that same God had to go to the cross of suffering in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 23 and verse 33, we see the cross of suffering in Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our debts, or of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. At this time, Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in hymn number 5. Hymn number 5, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
We'll do this one a little slower and more prayerfully.
Thank you.
course, as we mentioned, as we saw there in the scripture, God's love did take him to the cross of suffering. The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But of course, that cross was not the end, was it? It was a cross of suffering. He did literally die on the cross. The Bible says that he gave up or yielded up the ghost, which means that of his own volition, he allowed that his spirit would pass from him, that he would go on into death. I saw somebody mention this morning that it was a near-death experience. Oh, no, friends, it was not a near-death experience. It was death. He died for us in our place. But that was not the end. The Bible tells us that now, because of that death, he would be resurrected. And of course, he had promised that, hadn't he, to his disciples. We're going to read from Luke 24. And originally, I wasn't planning on reading the entire chapter, but I am going to do that now. We do have a little more time than I had planned on. So Luke 24 is where we want to turn. And I know it's a little bit of a longer passage, but I would encourage you to follow along carefully and not allow your mind to drift as we read together, I out loud and you silently, Luke 24. And this, of course, is an account from Luke on the resurrection. Luke 24, beginning with verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them or known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in another hymn.
Number 31, please. Number 31, He Lives. Number 31.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of prayer. And just the time I give.
good singing. Couldn't tell if any of your voices cracked, but mine did. All right, I hope you didn't hear that. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we need to turn now. So we have seen through the redemption story, we've seen that God created man, and of course he created him for his glory and for fellowship with him. What a beautiful creation that God made, and he saw that everything was very good after he created it. He gave man one rule to live by, that he could eat of every tree of the garden except for one. And in the day that he would eat thereof, he would surely die. Well, man chose in rebellion to choose sin and to distance himself from God, and that resulted in spiritual death, not only for mankind, but all of creation. But God's love motivates him to seek and to save that which was lost, which led him to the cross of suffering, didn't it? But praise the Lord that God's suffering resulted in the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does live, and he lives even today, and he intercedes for you and for me. He's not just taking it easy up in heaven, sitting back. He's done his work. No, his work continues. He intercedes for you and me daily and moment by moment. What a wonderful Savior we have. Which leads us now to 1 Corinthians, which is another, 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, this is another very important passage of Scripture, which gives us a little glimpse into the importance of the resurrection. That, listen, not just that Jesus rose, and that's wonderful, but now that you and I will rise as well. That this life is not all that we have to look forward to. In fact, that we are to set our affection on things above, as we've been learning in Colossians. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, says there, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I didn't have this on the list here, and I apologize to our instrumentalists and to Brother Adrian, but let's stand and we'll close with this. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. Could we just do three verses of 243, if I remember right, is the number of Victory in Jesus. That would be a good one to close the service out with. Knowing that through him we also shall rise. Number 243.
Rest like me, I heard above me.
wonderful singing on that. Thank you for being a part of this service here at 8:30. I hope that was a blessing to you, and I hope it was an opportunity for God through his word and through hymns as well to give you a glimpse into your Savior. One of the things that I'm burdened for on a regular basis is that our services would point you to Jesus, that you would see him, that he would take up our vision, and that we would be confronted with him on a daily basis, and especially as we meet together. I hope that was the result of the service this morning. At this time, what we're going to do is I'll dismiss us with a word of prayer, and then you're welcome to go immediately downstairs. Our brunch will start right away. If everything is ready, I'm assuming it is. My wife is down there getting things ready. Maybe some of the ladies could just check and make sure that if there's anything else that needs to be put out that you could help her, but I think things will probably be taken care of. But either way, there should be some coffee and juice and fruit and muffins and then egg dishes as well. So anyway, I would encourage you to start right away because at 10:30, we need to start our regular service up here. All right? We want to be on time for that. So let me close with a word of prayer and then I'll let you be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, what you have done for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for your great love for us. We confess before you that in Adam we died. We chose sin in him. And not only in him, but just daily in our lives, we have rebelled from you. And we are as sheep that have gone astray. We've gone everyone. We've chosen everyone his own way. And Lord, we thank you that you do love us and that in your love, it was not just a superficial love, but you commended that love toward us in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for the cross of suffering. Thank you for the glorious resurrection. Thank you for the hope that we have that someday we will be done with this wicked world. We will live in your kingdom. We will live in glorified bodies that don't sin, that don't struggle with sickness, that, Lord, we will enjoy that new creation that you will make someday. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would please bless this food to our bodies that we're about to consume. Lord, bless each hand that had a part in making the food or prepping it and putting it together. Lord, I pray that you bless our fellowship. Help us to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. And then, Lord, would you have your hand upon the 10:30 service also? Any who are on their way and traveling here, give them safety. In Jesus' name, amen.